Welcome to Sustain Your Vitality, the podcast that gives you a nurturing kick in the ass so you can take action every day to feel better, not older. Your lifestyle holds the power to change how you feel, and no matter your age or health issues, you are in the driver's seat. I'm your host, Zoe Connor, and I am a PhD level physicist, a well-being lifestyle alchemist, a travel strategist, and a retreat leader. Zen and Vitality with Zoe is my functional wellness studio. Join me for an intentional vitality retreat, for a whole new way to use travel to support your well-being. I'm here to help you figure out how to lower your stress, increase your energy, put yourself into a healing state, boost your drive and pleasure in life, prevent disease, and feel the best you ever have in your whole life with no regrets later. Let's go.
Well, I am delighted to have my good friend Allison Kay with me today, and we're going to be talking about retreats. And so, Allison, how about you tell the audience a little bit about you and why we're talking about retreats?
Well, thank you. My name is Allison Kay, but I won't even go into my last name. It's just a lot easier to say Allison Kay. I'm a 30-year health and fitness veteran. I've pretty much spent my career in the health and fitness industry and decided about 10 years ago to start adding retreats because I just knew that people wanted to be together in person. And what I find is that not only do these experiences allow people to get deeper, greater results, I also find that it's just a much greater way, if you will, to help people get transformation, to help people like actually return to their lives and feel like they're different. And that's one of the reasons why I'm super passionate about doing this work and why we do a lot of retreats here and why I know you do as well. And I always love to talk to other retreat leaders about why we do this work.
Awesome. So let's get into today's conversation. So Allison, as we talk about retreats, of course, you and I both know how wonderful they are because they offer things, experiences that you can't get any other way. Mm-hmm. It's that intensive opportunity to pull multiple things together. Mm-hmm. So what have you noticed with your clients and retreats in terms of how they feel about what they get from a retreat experience versus what they get by just working with you one-on-one or part of a group coaching program?
I'm so glad you asked this question because I feel like this is something that we have to keep talking about as retreat leaders. There's a lot of people out there who are like, what's the difference? You know, why should I leave my day-to-day life and go travel somewhere and do something that I can do at home? And the simple fact of the matter is this, is that we're creatures of habit and we're used to living on repeat every day. I mean, that's just how we're wired as human beings. So when we allow ourselves to get out of our day-to-day environment and actually disconnect, like think about, you know, when you disconnect, when you turn off the light, when you leave the room, you're disconnecting. I mean, there's nothing about that light that's staying the same because it's turned off. So when you go on a retreat, when you allow yourself to get out of your day-to-day environment and immerse yourself into something different, you're able to actually operate different. You're actually able to absorb things different. You're able to do things different. So when you get home, because you've had this practice literally of doing things different, when you get home, you know, it's much easier to go ahead and pick up where you leave off, even though life is going to get in the way. But the point is that you've had this practice. You've had a chance to kind of test drive it. So your confidence is much better that you're actually going to be able to keep doing the work.
So that kind of makes it sound like a one-day retreat might not even really be worth the time if you're just going to easily return to your previous situation as soon as you go home, right? Yeah. So what do you think, what do you observe with your clients about one-day experiences versus multi-day experiences?
That's a really good question too. And I really think it depends in part on some of the work that you're doing. Like there are just some things that I think take longer to absorb. But the simple fact is this, regardless of the time of the retreat, and I believe this, is that, you know, whether it's one day or 3 days or a week, the simple fact is that we're giving ourselves a chance to disconnect, to literally turn off how we're used to operating day to day. And so if we give ourselves a day to kind of try it on, kind of test drive it, kind of see if we like it, right? What we can do when we get home is even though we may have only had a day to practice it, we still are further down the road than we would be if we hadn't done it at all.
Oh, absolutely. Right. But that one day experience, you know, if you're focused on the content and what is being thrown at you or offered to you rather than absorbing it into your life, then it's maybe not as transformational as it could be.
Well, I think it really depends on what you're doing and who it is that you're inviting to come on a retreat. So for example, we used to do a lot of single day retreats when I first started doing retreats. And I only did this because it was simply easy for me as a leader to plan. It was easy for me to sell to my audience, and it was just simple. And I think that's the case with anything brand new, whether you're a business owner or whether you're trying to improve your health, your fitness, your lifestyle. I think it's always easier to bite off something smaller at first to kind of see if you can integrate it and make it work. Now, is it better to do one day than multiple days? I don't know that that's necessarily true because it's sort of like saying if you do something quickly, you'll expect to see a quick result. You and I both know as retreat leaders and health and fitness professionals that it takes a while to adopt a new habit. So for some people, maybe the one day retreat is a good place to begin, but is that simply going to be enough? I think that really depends. But at the end of the day, you have to keep practicing. You have to keep implementing, and you have to have that support because it's really easy for us to just throw out the window what we're trying to learn if we're just settling for one day.
I have a similar conversation when I'm working with clients one-on-one. You know, what's the right amount of time for us to talk for a consult or for you to do some movement? Is it 15 minutes? Is it 55 minutes? Right? And there are some people where the shorter time is actually more effective
I
for
would agree.
whatever reason, either brain or body or energy, right? And so if you drag it out and make them take a whole hour, they're only getting the first 15 minutes of value anyway. And after that, it's just not a good use of time.
Well, I don't know that you can really just come out and say, it has to be shorter, it's not going to work. And I know that's not what you're saying, but let
No,
me
I'm just saying
explain.
that for some people, shorter is actually
That's
more
true. I would agree with
impactful,
that.
shorter and more frequent rather than longer and perhaps more spaced out.
And I would agree with that. But I also think that, I guess what I'm trying to say is I think it's important as retreat leaders that we meet people where they are. And if we have someone, a client come on a retreat with us, it's one day and they get a great result and they're able to go back to their life or go back to things as normal, like, or whatever their new normal is, and they're able to implement that change, then that's a success. But I think it has to be said that for some people, it probably is much better if it's 2, 3, 4, 5 days or longer, because for some people, it may take a little longer to absorb those changes and to be able to implement them in a way that actually works for them. So I think we have to meet people where they are and understand that people learn differently. And as retreat leaders, we have to be prepared to support them and, give them the coaching and the guidance that they need so that hopefully it becomes a seamless transition.
And I think there's a nervous system component to that too, in terms of, you know, what's going on in their normal life. How long does it take for them to make that transition to perhaps that calmer, more peaceful, I can now think about things in a different way, frame of mind, right?
Yes, I would
So
agree.
for some people, that transition is just really tough.
Yeah, it is tough.
Right. And so they're going to need a longer time to be able to get into that state where they can absorb best.
So
Right.
I just feel like I have to say something here that unfortunately I think a lot of retreat leaders would probably disagree with me on, but whatever, I don't really care. You know me, I'm always going to tell you, I'm always going to straight shoot, be a straight shooter and tell you exactly what I think. Here's really what's at the crux of all that is that I think what we have to think about as retreat leaders is exactly the work that we're doing. And so many retreat leaders out there are not doing retreats. They're simply taking people out of town and letting them, quote unquote, get away from their life. Right. And so when they get back, yeah, they've had an amazing time to relax and get away and whatever you want to call it, but they get home and nothing's really changed for them. So of course they're going to go back to operating the same way. So if you do a one-day retreat somewhere and your focus is really clear, and the outcome that you're promising is simple and clear, then I think the likelihood of people being able to stick to that when they get home is much greater. But if you're doing a 3, 4, 5 day experience or even longer, and you're trying to teach everything under the sun because you feel like you can and you have the time and the space to do it, I think when people get home, the tendency is to not remember all of that because it's too much change at once. This is why we see so many people at the beginning of the year try to adopt new habits and they don't stick to it. It's because they're trying to do too many things. So I think as retreat leaders, we have to understand that and we have to learn to embrace that for our people. If it's easy for us and simple for us, then that's what we want them to adopt.
Absolutely. And so for many people, when they're looking at retreats, right, they're looking for the change they're going to have when they get home, right? And we have to be careful that the programming of the retreat, it is an intensive experience, but it should not be overwhelming. It should always be supportive, right? So it's not about a jam-packed day to get all the things in so that you can go home with the most amount of information. It's also not about just fun and games, right? It has to be supportive of that intensive experience that creates the transformation that you're looking for so that you go home that newer, changed version of you, not necessarily that there was anything wrong with you to begin with, but you were seeking something different. And we want to give that to you, right? And that's why taking you out of time and space and putting you into a retreat setting actually works.
Yeah, because we're just going to keep doing what we're used to doing every day, and
It's
then,
easier.
of course,
Decision fatigue,
it's
right?
always easier.
It takes a lot of mental energy to make changes. You have to d put a lot of d focus into it.
And I mean, I think we can distill this down to something super simple. Let's talk about when people get up in the morning and when they go to bed. Okay? You think that's a super simple habit. And if you think about how most people operate day to day, I mean, I'm an early riser and I'm pretty diligent about getting in bed at a decent hour in the evening so that I don't disrupt that part of my routine. But I also know that a lot of people aren't really like that. They stay up late, maybe they get up early because they're pushing themselves for something. And so making that simple change can be really, really hard. And you and I both know as professionals that you have to do that in baby steps. So for example, if you take someone on a 3, 4, 5 day retreat and you're getting up at the crack of dawn every day and going to bed really early every day, that's a huge change right then and there for people, not to mention what you're doing in between that. So, of course, when you get home, it's going to be difficult to sustain that because that's not really what you're used to doing. So, we have to be really raw and real and honest about how we're operating every day and be very intentional about what those changes are going to look like. And I think that's something that we have to be super clear on when we take people on retreats.
Absolutely. And especially for some of that example, time zone changes,
100%.
right?
100%.
So acknowledging that perhaps you're bringing people from different time zones into a new time zone, and then we're talking about, in my case, lifestyle patterns, that sort of stuff, right? And like you've already kind of jacked up their patterns by moving them, right? But you're trying to set up the support so that they can have this understanding of the impact that it has, and it's that understanding that they're going to take home with them.
And I would actually take that one step further and argue that, it's probably easier. And I don't want to say it's easier because I think everybody is unique in their own way. But I think it's easier when we take people on retreat to take them into a deep dive and let them experience it. Of course, they're going to get a result. Of course, they're going to say, this really helped me. This is what I really noticed. This is how I noticed I was feeling. But then it's like you pick them up and you put them back in their everyday life, the really in all the patterns that they've been used to repeating over and over and over again. That's actually where the disconnect begins. And that's where I would argue that people probably need more support is when they get home as to being on retreat. Both are important, but I just want to be clear about
Right.
that.
Absolutely. And this is why there should be follow-up,
Yes,
right?
100%.
There should be a way to work with your retreat leader after the retreat,
Yes.
because whatever it is that you decided to do and you have this great plan, you does not need to go to hell in a handbasket just because you went home again, right? You need to keep you created momentum, you started a fire, you have an idea, but the follow-through is oftentimes the hardest part.
And also I'll follow that up with this, is that we bump up against a ceiling for what we're used to doing. So when we go on a retreat for, let's just use the multi-day retreat again, 3, 4, 5, 6 days, whatever it is. And you feel like, I feel different. I feel like I'm operating different. I really like this, whatever, and I think it's easy with anything new to think that, right? I think anything in the beginning, when it feels new, it's exciting, and you start to believe in yourself and you feel like, you know what, I can actually do this. But then you get home and everything that you're used to all of a sudden is back. It's not like it just magically disappeared, right?
Well, yeah, because now you're back with your
Yep.
people and your
Exactly.
space and
Right.
your normal
Yeah.
patterns.
Yeah. And that's where we figure out, this is how I have been operating. So we go from a new identity, so to speak, and a new capacity, right, to experience something different for ourselves. Then we get home and we're like, oh, hello, there's my old identity. There's how I'm used to doing things. Wow, you didn't go anywhere. You're right here, right? And we have to figure out how to navigate that. And I got to be honest, as human beings, I'll put myself in this category, at least in the very beginning of something new. We suck at that. We really do. And
We
this is
do.
where we really need somebody to say, hey, I need you to tell me like one thing that you're doing from what we worked on that's actually sticking, day to day. What's coming up for you? And we have to talk through that. We have to be prepared to take action on that.
Yeah. And so there's where your retreat leader keeps you accountable afterwards,
Totally, 100%.
as long as you set yourself up to do that.
Yeah, I would argue that that's equally important as the retreat experience itself.
Yes,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this was great. Thanks so much, Allison.
Yeah, of course.
Well, Allison, I have really enjoyed having this conversation with you. Can you let people know more about you and how to find you?
Certainly. There are a couple places where you can come and connect with me. Come over to my website. That's www.theallisonk.com. That's Allison with one L. A lot of people ask me how I spell my name, and it's one L, which is, I know, unusual, but it's Alison K, theallisonk.com. You can hit the connect button. You can check out both of my podcasts. I have two shows, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care and Creating the World's Best Client Experience, which you've been a guest on. So you can come over to my website and check that out, or you can sign up for our Friday newsletter, which I call 5-Minute Fridays, which goes out every Friday. And it's about a 5-minute read, and it basically is 5 points. It's the five things that we teach the most here at CU Fitness, which is my business name, and the Allison K Agency.
If you liked what you just heard and want more, you can check out my book, Wellness in Motion: Sustainable Travel and Embodied Practices for the Midlife Earth Conscious Woman. Or you can check out one of my two websites using the links in the show notes. I have two great ways for you to start working with me. I would love for you to take my Wellness Plus Travel profile quiz and discover which Greek goddess travels like you do. You will get tips for planning your next trip sent directly to your email. I would love to meet you with a free new client wellness consultation where we can discuss what working with me might look like for you. The show notes have the links for both the quiz and my calendar to make an appointment. If the Sustain Your Vitality podcast is helping you understand what you need to feel fabulous in every way with the least amount of effort, please share the show with someone who also needs it. Sharing is easy. Just use the sharing link in the show notes. The Sustain Your Vitality podcast is a gift from Zen and Vitality with Zoa LLC and Intentional Vitality Retreats, based in the state of Maryland, USA. All the podcast things, planning, recording, editing, and producing have all been done by me, Zoa Connor, PhD. Even though you can call me doctor, I'm not a medical professional, and your safety is your responsibility. By listening to this podcast and understanding any movement, nutrition, lifestyle, or health protocols discussed, you understand and agree to take full responsibility for your actions. Zen and Vitality with Zoa are not responsible for any injuries or issues that may occur. This podcast is intended for educational and informational purposes only and is not a substitute for personalized medical, wellness, nutrition, lifestyle, or movement and fitness advice. Always practice any fitness or movement-related activities in a safe environment. I make no claims about the effectiveness of the techniques or protocols discussed or any specific results you may achieve. I recommend you consult with your healthcare professional before changing your diet, exercise routine, or healthcare plan. Zen and Vitality with Zoa and the guests of this podcast are not liable for any injuries or health problems that may arise from following the information presented.